వా గణపతి హవామహే కవి కవీనాముపమశ్రవస్తమ జ్యేష్ఠరాజం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ప్రయాణకాలే మనసాచలేన భక్త్యాయుక్తో యోగబలేన చైవ భ్రువోర్మధ్యే ప్రాణమావేశ్య సమ్యక్ సతం పరం పురుషముపైతి దివ్యం. యోగబలేన యుక్త, సో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ఎక్వైర్ దట్ ఇన్నర్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ విత్ ది హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ యోగాభ్యాస. యూ హ్యావ్ టు ప్రాక్టీస్ సర్టెన్ యోగిక్ ఎక్సర్సైజెస్ అండ్ గెయిన్ దట్ ఇన్నర్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్. ఈవెన్ యు సీ, ఈవెన్ విత్ రిఫరెన్స్ టు ఫిజికల్ బాడీ, yoga and also some of the aerobic exercises etc, they help us to gain some kind of command over the body, and in the process we gain some kind of confidence and self assured nature will come automatically. Otherwise, suppose a person who is given to exercises and yoga practice, suppose daily or once thrice or four times in a week he spends some time in yoga and daily some exercise is there, such a person, suppose it is snowing, he has to step out, abo if I step out I may slip and fall, that kind of fear won't be there. General ambience will change. Generally we are so obsessed with the bodily comforts and also the welfare of the body is such a huge obsession with us that we are permanently waiting to be struck by some misfortune. It is as if so something may happen to the body, I may slip and fall, or I may become cold may come, if I step out and breathe in cold may come, so that kind of fear. So we should not be like that. It won't be there provided you go for a walk and do exercises, be with the nature, relate with the nature, don't run away from the nature. Don't isolate, one should not isolate oneself in a plastic world. So one should be terrestrial, don't be celestial even while living here. Celestial will come having acquired a lot of punya, lot of dana, dharma, etc. we are doing, and the celestial we will eventually become. But that will come later. Now itself we need not become celestial. Of course Americans are a kind of celestial only, I agree. But still better to be terrestrial. So mingle with the earth, the water, the wind, so that way you just merge with the open skies. So that way one has to integrate oneself cognitively. Physically you are already integrated. Physically you are not isolated from the whole, you are part like a bubble in the ocean of existence. That is what we are physically. But cognitively we have isolated ourselves. The process of isolation is very painful. It makes us very uncertain people. There is physical health, there is we are very highly educated with a big degree, university degree and all that. That means intellect is well equipped. Then we have a good career, economically sound, hale and healthy, family, this and that is there. But still the person is insecure. Why? What could be the reason for it? The reason is that the fundamental sense of isolation itself is the source of insecurity in life. That is how we become very uncertain and insecure people. Because in our folly, in our ignorance, we feel that we are separate from the whole. So that should go away. And yoga is the mechanism, yoga bala. The more you integrate yourself with the whole, there will be an inner wholeness. You practice this. For example, you just look into, if you look around, you see names and forms only. The mind is like that. So stop looking around and look up. Suppose you look up and look into the vastness of space. Just look into the vastness of space. Look for 2 minutes. Vastness of space. Then see what happens. Something happens, I tell you. You have to try it and see. You know it already. It's not that you don't know it. I am just bringing out an experience that you have already. When you look up and contemplate upon the vastness of space, the immensity, the infinitude of space, you contemplate. When you are doing that, you are not anymore during that time. You are not anymore a persona badly enmeshed in the problems of life. You are not. You got the point? You are not. You have already crossed the boundaries or the confinements of the ego into an impersonal awareness. This is called inner space. The inner space is, you are, suppose I am badly identified, totally identified with the ego. That means the inner space is zero. I am now imprisoned in the little prison house called mind and ego. Mind created ego. I am an imprisoned. I am the karta, bhokta, permanently seeking this, that, very insecure, very incomplete and unfulfilled individual. That is the person who is imprisoned in the little prison house called ego mind, egoic mind. There is no space at all, inner space. How do you get inner space? Contemplate upon the outer space. Then you will gain the inner space. Contemplate on space to gain space. So should I put the head above? Yeah, you can try that. It is a meditation. Looking at the open sky is always a meditation. It is a samadhi. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was walking with his mother. It was a moonlit night. And mother, she was a village woman, not highly educated. Therefore, there is a still possibility of some wisdom in her. Right? Because the more you learn, the more you accumulate at the level of the intellect, the more it is painful to know the truth. Am I sounding like a crazy guy? Possible, possible. So the Vedanta itself is meant for crazy people only. It is not meant for ordinary people. It is meant for crazy people. You have to be a kind of a crazy guy to gain the knowledge of the self. If you are one among the worldly people, it is not for us. Anyway, so she looked up and she was thrilled by only this much, by the beauty of the moonlit moon, the crescent moon. She was thrilled by its beauty. She casually said, more of a loud thinking than anything else, she said, "Dear son, how beautiful the moon is." Then he looked up, this boy. And he saw the moon in the background of the infinitude or the immensity of the space. Immediately, he went into samadhi. He is no more a boy walking with his mother to his home. He is one with the universal truth. Then the mother has to carefully take him home because he is immersed in that vastness itself. Okay, it may not be that much, but at least, even as you watch the immensity of space, you get lost in that immensity. You get lost, which is same as you gain that immensity. You see, you have to lose yourself to gain the immensity of your self. While holding on to the small self, you cannot imagine to gain the real self, no way. And therefore, it is the yoga which takes us beyond the confines of this small little prison house called ego. Just takes us above that. For example, you are doing an asana, even just a sukhasana like this, and you are conscious, just conscious, not thinking something. Suppose you are thinking something, some affair, that the work that you have to do immediately after finishing the yogasanas. Once you plan like that, so let me finish this yogasanas, which is an obstacle in the way, and then I will do this and that. So once you plan like that, you have already spoiled the yoga. There is no more yoga. On the other hand, you don't plan anything following yoga. Don't plan anything. Just let it happen. It will happen. Because mind is always trying to be one step ahead than body. That is the wrong. That there is no yoga. There is a viyoga between body and mind already. So make it yoga. Means body is in the present. Body is never in the future. Body can be a portal to the reality. You know that? Because it is the mind which is the obstacle, not body. It is the mind which identifies with the body, making the body a trap. Anyway, so mind is always in the future, whereas body is always in the present. There is a disconnect. There is a gulf. That is the source of so much fear and stress within. Anyway, you don't plan anything. Just sit. And this is called conscious yoga. It is only yoga means conscious yoga only. Suppose you put the TV on and then start doing this asana, that asana. So you are conscious of what is going on in the TV, on this TV screen, and the body is struggling to bend this way and that way. It doesn't work well. It doesn't work at all. That is not correct. So forget about TV and all that. The person will tell you, you need to have a TV in your exercise room. Like that he will tell. He is trying to put one more TV into your hand and take away the money from your pocket. You don't need a TV in the exercise room. You don't need a TV in your kitchen. You don't need a TV in your bedroom. You just need a TV in your sitting room. That is all you need. You don't need TV anywhere. Suppose I lie down like that. Have a TV there? Is it necessary to have like that? Is it not? Is it not a kind of something wrong with the whole thing, right? Anyway, so when you sit like this and watch the posture consciously, there is an alertness in the mind. Already the yoga has begun. Already you are out of that prison house called mind, compulsive thinking mind. You are already out of the prison house. As simple as that. Like that you have to prachaya, you have to accumulate. You have to accumulate the awareness. We lost it in the compulsive thinking of the mind. A man who is lost in his thoughts is lost in this world. What to speak of spirituality? He is already lost in spirituality. Therefore, the mind should be focused. So you have to accumulate that awareness. You have to accumulate. Accumulate means you have to collect it. And you have to collect it by abhyasa, by practice. Abhyasa is the watchword for yoga. That's why they call it yoga abhyasa. It is the watchword. Abhyasena cha kaunteya. Vairagyena cha grihyate. Have vairagya for the world, detachment for the world, and abhyasa, practice yoga. You are sure to win the game. That is how it is. Yoga balena. So, one has to accumulate samskara prachaya janita. Shankara uses a beautiful word. He says, instead of accumulating wealth, accumulating bookish knowledge, this and that, you have to accumulate some wealth. I don't say don't accumulate any wealth. Some wealth you have to accumulate. And some bookish knowledge, books are a good starting point. You need to study books. But then a stage comes when the book is kept aside and you have to discover the truth within. The truth is not there in the book. Yoga balena is not the truth. Bread, the word bread is not the bread. So, yoga balena means you have to accumulate it within. It is all Hinduism is Hinduism. It is all inner doing only. So, you have to accumulate it. It is a It's a process. And as you accumulate, then one method, bhruvor madhye pranamaveshya samyak. So the power of life is located here. Bhruvoha madhye. Bhru is these two. The eyebrows. Bro, eyebrow. English and Sanskrit. In Sanskrit it is bhru. And in English it is bro. How close they are. Anyway, eyebrows. Between the eyebrows, this is there. That's why they put this kumkuma, etc. here. Because, you know what is this Varanasi bhruvor madhye? It is Varanasi. You see, there is a story. The story is, if you go to Varanasi, if a person goes to Varanasi and lives there, he accumulates punya. He has to live there. 1 year, 2 years, he has to live there. He accumulates punya. And then he has to die there. And then is there a perimeter? Yes, perimeter is also defined. Now the perimeter, by the time Puranas were written, the perimeter was small. Now the perimeter has expanded. So many suburbs, the towns devour the suburbs. So now you have to say the perimeter has expanded. Doesn't matter. Some idea is already there, Varanasi. So you go and live there and the person dies there. When the person dies, Shiva comes because it is a Shiva's city, like Washington, you know. So Shiva, president's city is Washington. So similarly it is a Shiva's city, Kashi or Varanasi, and he comes. He is already there anyway. So he comes and he tells in the ear, Panchakshari mantra he tells, Namah Shivaya he tells. And he receives the mantra, which is called Taraka mantra. So it Taraka means it helps you to cross the ocean of samsara. That is called Taraka. Tarayatita Tarakaha. Sarvam jnanaplavenaiva urujinam santarishyasi. That tarishyasi, that is the Taraka mantra. It helps you to cross the ocean of samsara. That mantra, he will whisper in your ear, in the person's ear. And then he receives the mantra, and now Namashivaya, Namashivaya, he dies. And he goes to Vaikuntha, Shivaloka. Vaikuntha people may object to it, so by mistake I said Vaikuntha. He goes to Kailasa. Doesn't matter, I just said in a casual way, Vaikuntha and Kailasa, it is all Adhyatma only. Atma alone upholds Vaikuntha and Kailasa. Doesn't matter. So this is the story. And this story is taken literally. It is literally taken. Good, that is how we have to start. So that's why if you go to Varanasi, there are many old age homes there. And even today they go on constructing old age homes where you can register or reserve one room for you. One can purchase a room there. A big complex will be there. And so one can purchase a room there and live there. And have some food, this and that. So it is very popular. They live there. They live there. But that is the literal meaning. But then there is a spiritual meaning for it. The spiritual meaning is Varanasi Bhruvor Madhye. This is the Kashi. So here you have to live. How to live? Living means what? Life, you know. Living is life, right? Life's expression is living. Therefore, pranam aveshya samyak. So you fix the prana here. This is what you do in the meditation. Every day in the meditation, that is exactly what you are doing. You see, the moment you focus the mind here, like watching the space, it is something very special. The moment you focus the mind here, the mind becomes calm and quiet. And as it becomes calm and quiet, please remember that illustration I told you, the water sitting in a corner without any movement. Don't think that it is dull. Water is not dull, it is getting purified. So you need to keep it quiet and calm. So dullness should not be confused with quietude. They are two different things. Appear similar, but two different things. So it is like the horse on the canvas, and the horse which is waiting to receive the signal to run. You know, they put like that horse. They put a bar, crossbar. He fires a gun, the crossbar goes up, and the horse jumps forward. and it is on the run. So that horse, how is it? Is it moving? No, it is not moving. They don't allow it to move. It is confined. Assume that it is not moving. So example taken in proper spirit. No, that also moves a little, you should not say. You should allow the example to come forward. So a crossbar, confined between two bars, like a cage. The horse is ready to jump. And this, and put a big canvas, sometimes they put a huge canvas behind on the wall. On that the horse, ready to jump. Both look alike, but both are not same. This is jada. That is, bursting with enthusiasm and alertness and life it is. That is the difference between a dull mind and a quiet mind. Big difference. Both look alike. Therefore, we should not go for dull mind. We should go for quiet mind. A quiet mind is a strong mind. Right? So, a mind lost in thoughts is a weak mind. And so, when you focus the life here, life, mind is connected to life. Pranabandhanam hi somya manaha. Somya means he somya. Aruni is telling to Shvetaketu, O Shvetaketu, my dear son, pranabandhanam manaha. Mind is connected to prana. So you connect the mind, it is already connected. So connect the mind to the prana. So that is called yoga. Connectedness is yoga. So mind and prana are as though separated. Now that is vyoga. Mind is going in one direction, prana is in another direction. Prana says, I am full. Prana is the one which digests the food, you know. I am full. But the mind says, no, you are full, you have to take dessert without fail. That is what the mind says. Prana will be complaining, I am full, I cannot handle this dessert anymore. But the mind says, without dessert, how can there be lunch? Like that the mind says. So there is a gulf between prana and manaha. You should not allow prana, manaha to win. You should allow the mind to resolve in the prana. Bhruvor madhye pranamaveshya. As you do that, the life, the vibrant life it is, it begins, somehow it is connected to pituitary gland. What is the connection? I don't know. Pituitary gland is the kingpin of all the endocrinological system, I suppose. Whatever. So, here, bhruvor madhye. This is the Varanasi bhruvor madhye, pranamaveshya. You do that. You gain that inner space. So, that is an important practice. Then, pranamaveshya samyak, fixed. You stay like that for some time. Then slowly, you see, you will not be body conscious. To begin with, you are body conscious. I sit in asana, that is the body conscious ego, body identified ego. But close the eyes and focus the mind in the center of the eyebrows. Now you are not body conscious anymore. You have already crossed the portal of body. You are with the life itself. Life is the fundamental background on which the entire living is built, you know. It is like a palace or a building. It has its strength in the pillars. So that is the prana. And on the prana, we build a life. Me, mine. Me, so-and-so. Mine, my wife, my children, my husband, my home, my this, my that, my friends, my foes, all. We build an entire living situation, we create. But what is the foundation of that living situation? Life. So unfortunately, we are so enmeshed in the living situations that we ignore the life itself. We remember the life only when we become sick, generally. So we should not do that. We should relate to the life on a daily basis. So pranamaveshya samyak. So when you do that, the Shiva will come to you. Or rather, you will be now in communion with Shiva. Who is Shiva? Jiva Shiva. Shivo Jivo Jiva Shiva. Like that there is a vakya. So, add ignorance to Shiva becomes Jiva. remove ignorance from jiva becomes a shiva. Shivo jivaha, jiva shivaha. So it is a flip-flop. That kind of a thing it is. Therefore, what is ignorance? This sense of isolation is the ignorance. So Shiva, the awareness absolute, together with the sense of isolation are conditioned by the, not really conditioned, apparently conditioned by the sense of isolation, that is jiva. And this jiva gets rid of this sense of isolation by wisdom, and he is on the path by yoga, so he has already become Shiva. It is like that. Jivo Shivaha, Shivo Jivaha. It is as simple as that. Therefore, now Shiva has arrived. And if you abide in that Shiva, then Taraka Mantram. Taraka Mantram is Namah Shivaya, means you are worshipping Shiva, who is your real self only. That is the Namah Shivaya. And so merge in Shiva and gain moksha. That is the moksha we are talking. So in the literal story, the person is a body-identified person, he has to die in a particular place, then Shiva, who is other than him, will come and do something and he gains moksha, which is going to Kailasa. That is different. That is the Puranic story. The symbolism of that Puranic story is what I told just now. So that is how a person has to live. And that is how a person has to die. Die means not really dying, dying to the body. You see, death is a movement in consciousness as much as anything else. So happiness, I am cheerful. What is this cheer? Cheer? It is a movement in consciousness. I am sad. What is this sadness? Another kind of movement in consciousness. Death. It is a movement in consciousness. There is nothing like death. Death is a notion that is fixed into our minds by the family, society and culture. Other than that, there is no death. What is it that dies? Neither body dies because it never lived, nor the Atma dies because it is not, but it is never born. What is born must necessarily die. And you were never born. Know that. And also know that you are not going to die. Over. So what is death? Death is not an issue at all. Therefore, here we are not talking of the death in physical terms. So here, death is dying to the body identification. That is the death. In fact, one has to die to the world to gain the vastu. So unless one dies to the world, he cannot gain the vastu, the reality. It is like that. Anyway, as the person leaves the body at the time of death, or leaves the body in terms of negating the identification, it is explained both ways. It is always like that. In Kenopanishad also it comes. Pretyasmal lokat amrutatvameti. Kenopanishad vakya, very first mantra. So first mantra means after the question is asked, keneshitam, this is next mantra. Pretyasmal lokat amrutatvameti. Asmat lokat, from this body, loka is body. Pretya, having died. What do you mean by death? Pretya pra itaha. That is pretya. You go and come back. That is itaha agataha. Right? Gataha agataha. Go, don't come back, go the other way, somewhere else. That is pragataha, there is no agataha. Praitaha, pretaha, that is the meaning of pretaha, who has gone not to come back. Suppose some people in olden days, they used to migrate. So from India, they migrated to West Indies. They did not come back. So, for the people left behind in India in those days, for them, these people are dead only because they never come back. They cannot come back. That is called preta. Preta means something is hanging around, still waiting for you to do something and all that. Kya baat hai? You can say all that, I don't know. But this is preta. And so there is no death or any such thing. In real terms, it is not there. Therefore, స్మాల్ లోకాత్ ప్రేత్య మీన్స్ హ్యావింగ్ డైడ్ టు దిస్ బాడీ, దట్ మీన్స్ హ్యావింగ్ గాన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ బాడీ, విచ్ మీన్స్ నాట్ దట్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు లీవ్ ది బాడీ అండ్ గో అవే. ది ఐడియా ఈజ్ హ్యావింగ్ అండర్స్టూడ్ క్లియర్లీ దాట్ ప్లీజ్ నోట్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ ఇన్ ది బాడీ, ది బాడీ ఈజ్ ఇన్ మీ, ది బాడీ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ఐ, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ది బాడీ, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ఇన్ ది బాడీ. People think, you know what people think, I am in the body and leave it behind and go and enter into another body. This is a, there is a name for it. It is called ajnana. Then what is the jnana? Are, is part in the space or space is in the part? What are you talking? Space is in the part. Who told you? Space is in the part. Are part is in the space. So, Atma is space-like. Always it is space-like. Vyomavadvyaptadehaya. Space-like. And what is body? Just now I have explained in the earlier class. Body is an idea, right? In fact, it is my comparison. I like my comparison because like donut. Body resembles a kind of donut only occasionally, whatever. So, body is an idea. Idea which is manufactured, synthesized. All ideas are not single elemental things. Idea is a synthesis. A few things are brought together and synthesized to get an idea. Flower. Flower is not a pulse of elemental or a singular knowledge. No, it is a synthesis only. Anyway, so body is an idea. And so what is the locus of ideas? Mind. What is the locus of mind? Consciousness, chaitanyam. Movement in chaitanya is the mind, and then one of the ideas in the mind is body. So where is body and where are you? You are not in the body. The body is in you. In fact, one Mahatma used to say, as long as you think that you are in the body, and the body is in the mind. No, I put it wrongly. As long as you think that there is a body, and in that body there is a mind, and in that body mind you are. Body, mind, and you, spirit. So, as long as you think like that, then you are like some small liquid-like thing sitting in a container. Some astral thing. Astral. So sitting in the container. This astral is in this container now, and it will leave this container and go and sit in another container. Kya baat hai? It is all wrong. Okay? So, it is not like that. You are the space-like awareness, and in that awareness, there is a movement called mind. And that mind has an idea called body. And so the entire universe shines in the spaciousness of that awareness. You are that Atma. To know that fact, you should first come out of this small little prison house called mind-body identified ego. You have to come out. Then only you will know that fact, otherwise not. And that is called satam param purusham upaiti divyam. Param purusham, param transcendental, purusham, the purna atma, divyam, self-shining. The self-shining atma, purusha is the atma, purna atma, timeless and spaceless atma, the reality, which is para. Para is immanent in the body. Para doesn't mean immanent. I am saying immanent. In spite of being immanent in the body-mind, it transcends the body-mind. That is para. Para means transcending. So, param purusham divyam upaiti. Why upaiti? Why not eti? Upaiti is so near to you. The Varanasi and the Shiva are not very far. They are so near to you. You see, I will ask you a question. Take a flight to Delhi, direct flight from Newark to Delhi. And then there is another flight from Newark to from Delhi to Varanasi, and then go and stand in the queue, have the darshan of Shiva. That is one thing. Close the eyes, do yoga, and see the Atma as a Shiva. The awareness absolute, abide in that awareness absolute, that is Shiva. Which is easy in these two? You know. That's why people do the easy thing and give up the difficult thing. Okay? So, go to Varanasi. I'm not saying anything about it. But even after going to Varanasi, do Shiva Darshanam. That also you should do. After doing that, find a small place there and sit there and do yoga. You have to do that. Then only you will gain Param Purusha Mupaiti Divyam. Then only you will gain. Otherwise, you cannot gain. I went to Varanasi, went inside the temple and had the darshan, and then I found a corner inside the temple. There I sat and I am doing dhyana. Then one gentleman said, "Hey, who are you?" I said, "Dekho bhai, I am a sadhu. That is good enough information for him, you know. Why are you sitting here?" "I am trying to see Ishvara Shiva in my heart. Can't you see that?" "No, this is not the place to see Shiva." I told, "What is that? This is the place to see Shiva." "No, this is not the place. You go to your room and see Shiva." "Where do you live?" "I live in that particular ashram." "Yeah, go there. You have a room there?" "Yes." "Go there and sit in that room and see Shiva." That is what he told. I told, "God bless you." He gave a good advice, you know. So I did that. So, satam param purusham upaiti divyam. You see Shiva. How do you see Shiva? If you stand here and Shiva is standing before you and you see Shiva. Now, that is Shiva really? Can it be Shiva anymore? Because is he not limited by you, etc.? Therefore, see Shiva as the Atma. How to see? Chidananda Rupaha. You do that much? Shivoham, Shivoham follows automatically. You are the Shiva. And so what all you have to do is, you have to escape from this small, petty prison house. Prison house is always petty. It will not be spacious bedroom like thing. The prison house is always petty only. Our ego is also a prison house. That's why it is always petty, right? So, the petty ego mind created prison house. You come out of it. Get liberated from it. And you gain Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. That is the shloka. Very beautiful verse. Next verse. Yadaksharam Vedavido Vadanti Vishanti Yadyatayo Vitaragaha Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshye. This mantra is there in Kathopanishad. And it is taken from the Upanishad as it is. That's why Gita is called Upanishadsu. It is an Upanishad. So, in Kathopanishad, Yadichyanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte Padagum Sangrahena Bravimi Omitye Tat. Like that you find there. Here, Sangrahena Pravakshye is there. Both mean only one thing. Both mean the same. Pravakshye, Bravimi. Both mean same. So, you see, there is a word called Pada. Padam Pravakshye. I will teach you Pada. There is a thing called Vachanam. And there is a thing called Pravachanam. Pravachana. What is Pravachana? It is used like that. Pravachana. This is called Pravachana. What I am doing now, in India they would call it Pravachana. Gita Pravachana. It is the Pravachan of Gita. It is how it is called. In fact, there is a book like that. Vinoba Bhave, when he was in Yarrawadda jail during the British rule, he used to teach Gita to the inmates. You see how what a Mahatma he is. Instead of while sitting in the jail, instead of getting worried, when will I be released? Why God, whom I worshipped all these days, put me here? So instead of getting worried like that, he just collected all the inmates. Suppose you say, all these are criminals, so I am not a criminal. All these are criminals, why I am put... He did not say like that, my God. He said, these are all my brothers. With a smile he went inside the jail. He did not ask the British people to release me. He released me, he did not ask. They thought, what a mistake we are doing. So they came and told him, Vinoba ji, aap chal sakte hai, you can go. He said, I have finished only 17th chapter. I have to finish 18th chapter. I am not going today. Today Pravachan is there. I'll finish 18th chapter and I will go. Then the person told, you don't have authority. I don't have authority to keep you here. Your authority, you do whatever. So I put the signature. I will do my Pravachan, finish the 18 and go away. And then he finished the 18th chapter. The name of the book is called Gita Pravachan. That is the name. It was originally in Marathi, then translated into all languages. One of the greatest treatises on Gita. Very beautiful. He teaches in such a simple language, in such a boli bhasha. He is addressing the convicts, all of them. They are not very scholarly people or any such thing. He is addressing them. And it is said that they all attended his class very, never missing it. Because somehow he is addressing and he is just touching their hearts in every statement. That is called pravachan. Prakrushtam vachanam. Pravakshya is there. That's why I am saying pravakshya is pravachanam. Pravachanam only pravakshya. So, pravach. Vach becomes vak. Chokkuhu. And root. Root will get the pratyaya sya. Syatasi rulutoho. That's how it became pravakshye. Anyway, so pravachanam. What is pravachanam? Suppose we sit and talk some silly things. That is called vachanam. Whereas we sit, always one has to talk and others have to listen only. So what is talked about is atma. There cannot be a more useful topic of discussion than that. It is the prakrushtam vachanam. The superior vachana. Because if you sit and talk about 2008 election, 2008 kaha hai bhai, very long ahead it is there. Why are we holding on to each other's hair from now itself? Why this hair splitting process? Election you announce and somebody will win, what big difference it makes. This hair splitting, the people love. Hair splitting. They are splitting a hair called health care. They are just splitting it. Already split into three pieces and take each piece and split it further. So it's a process which begins night 9 o'clock and goes up to 1 o'clock. On and on. They are not in power. Any one of them is not in power. What all, every single word they said, it just goes into the thin air. It has no value because they are not in power. One of them is likely to come to power. One of them. Kya baat hai? Why they should discuss about it now? Anyway, there is a need for it, I suppose. So that is not pravachanam. It is hair splitting. We somehow find some entertainment in this hair splitting. So as long as you find entertainment in it, you engage in it, we are wasting the mental energies. You know, my thought is energy it is. Thought is energy, power it is. It is the power of life. Somya pranabandhanam hi somya manaha. You have projected a thought means you have projected the power of life you have projected. That is what a thought is. And what a sad situation that we waste the power of life in all such unnecessary discussions. That is not the right thing to do. So suppose people say, to gain the Atma Jnanam, we want a spiritual energy, yoga bala, where from it will come? You have all the yoga bala in the world. You don't need any more yoga bala than already you have. Only thing is, you should not dissipate that. The power of life is dissipated, wasted away in the desert-like samsara by continuously projecting the mind into the things of the world. That is how it is dissipated. If only we stop dissipating this mental energy, mental power, and conserve it, that mental power is enough to take us to the vastu, to the reality. It is enough. You don't need any more mental power than that. That's why pravachanam, prakrushtam vachanam. So, this pra, prakrushtam vachanam, it is also explained in a different way. Priya vachanam. Pra is priya. Suppose you pronounce pra in a loose way, it becomes para, something like that. So priya vachanam is pravachanam. The priya is atma. Atma priyaha. There is only one thing that is worth pursuing, worth knowing, worth abiding in. There is only one thing. That is the atma. All other things you need not abide. Whatever you have to do, whatever things that there is a need to do, you go about doing those things. But other than that, it is all waste of energy, mental energy. We should not do that. We should devote ourselves to Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. That is how the mental energies have to be channelized. That is a pravachanam. So pravakshye, I am telling you one important, very important thing. I am telling you, please pay attention. Pravakshye. So matalab ka baat, pravakshye. What matters? The thing that matters, pravachanam. Not all silly things. So, pravakshye. What is that? Padam pravakshye. This is called mantra vyakhyanam. The analysis of the mantra. Mantra. The mantra only, you know. Mantra or shloka, one and the same. So, every word we analyze with love. Padam. What is padam? Padam means two things. One is the word. The word, you know, that is padam. So if you bring a number of words together, it becomes a sentence. So that word, it is, Shankara has introduced it as abhidhanam. He gave a synonym for the word padam. That is abhidhanam. We know very well. Abhidhanam means designation. That's the name. That is abhidhana. So that padam I will tell you. So what should I do with this padam? Already there are many padas. Padas means words. You have Oxford Dictionary with you. How many padas are there? A million are there. So one more pada, what we will do? No, not like that. This pada will take you to the reality. That's why I am saying that pada. So now padam has another meaning. Padyate iti padam. The one that you gain is called pada. Suppose you catch a flight to Chicago. Now the flight is going, you are in the flight. Now the destination that you are going to is called Padam. Right? So, that what is that destination that we are aiming at in this path of spirituality? What is the destination? Padam. The destination is the oneness with the Vastu. So, realization of the truth, that the self, that is the destination. That alone, I am telling you. But now you said that pada is a word, so, and now with the word I will reach the reality, yes. The pada, you see, there are two ways to look at it. The pada is a means, or a sadhana, is an upaya, or a mechanism, or an anchor that can take me to the destination. That is one way of looking at it. Okay. Or the pada is the destination. The word is the destination. The word itself is the destination. That means what? The distinction between abhidhana and abhidheya, the designation and the designated, is gone. It is no more there.
So it is like this, this statement you know. There was word in the beginning, and the word was with the God. Right? There is a distinction. The word is a mechanism that can take you to God. The word is with the God. Okay? And the word was the God. Even that distinction is removed. When the distinction between the pada, the word, and the vastu is there, it is called saguna brahmopasana. And there is no more distinction between the pada, the word, and the vastu. It is called nirguna brahma, not upasana, jnanam. That is the difference. So, nirguna I said with reference to the saguna. Therefore, omkara is the pada that we are going to talk about. So, Shankara is going to say, so parasya brahmanaha vachaka rupena pratimavat pratika rupena cha. So, om can be a symbol that can help your mind to dwell upon the reality. It's only a symbol. A symbol is valuable to the extent that it takes you to the reality which it symbolizes. A symbol is like the dinner invitation card. You know, they give an invitation card. You are invited here by very, very beautifully printed golden letters and all that. So that invitation. And at the gate of that hall, that hotel or whatever, you have to show this invitation card. Then only you will be allowed. So this symbol is like that. Suppose that invitation card you just munch it, you won't get anything out of it. So it is only a symbol. It helps you gain entry. It is a symbol. I said this because people have a tendency to get lost in symbols. That's why I said it. This is a problem in the path of spirituality. There are so many stages that one can get stuck in so many ways. Just get stuck, that's all. So people get stuck at different levels. So for example, everything is a symbol. Nama rupa it is. Nama rupa bole to kya hai? Symbol only. Everything is a symbol. The reality, nama rupa is not the real. Okay, but then we choose a particular symbol, nama rupa. This symbol stands for what it symbolizes. The word bread is not bread. It's only a symbol, a pada, what it symbolizes. But then what we do? We take the symbol, forget the symbolized. Just take the symbol. And do something about it. So this is how it could be a point where it could be a plateau. One has to rise above the plateau. Initially, it has everything as a value, as a step. But we should not start living on the steps themselves. We should move forward. Anyway, so the word can be a symbol, or the word can be the vastu itself. Both are possible. Tatte padagum sangrahena bravimi. In that sense, the pada, the word, is the same as the pada, the goal. Word becomes the goal. Start saying om and merge into the silence of the awareness. The word became the silence. The word becomes the silence. Why? Why the word becomes the silence? Because the word has originated from the silence. What originates from which? Merges into that, right? That is the law. Necklace originates from gold and merges into the gold. So the word originates from silence and merges into the silence. In between also it is silence only. But the silence is in the background, hidden. But it is there. If you can see it is there in between also. So, padam, it just merges into the silence. So you mean to say that silence is the Brahman? Yes. Silence is the Brahman. That is the Brahman. So then can we try it? You try it. That is the purpose. You try it. And the moment you know that the awareness, absolute, which is the origin of all movement of the mind, and which sustains all movement of the mind, and which is the end of all movement of the mind, that moment, the moment you know that you are that awareness absolute, and you are not the mind, you are not the persona manufactured by this mind, the moment you know it, you have made it already. You have arrived. Already it is there. You see, moksha or self-realization is attainable. One has to have that confidence. It is attainable. We are not talking about it as we talk about svarga. Svarga is not attainable now and here. One has to wait for a long time and die and go to heaven and all that. Whereas moksha is attainable now and here. And what is that? Padam. Tatte padam sangrahena pravakshye. Only thing is, you just have to seek that only. The day you seek only moksha and nothing else, that day you have moksha already. Our problem is, we don't want moksha. We don't want self-realization. Because somehow we have a notion, if we realize self immediately, we will lose whatever few things we have. So, that is our problem. And also, we are afraid of the unknown. Self is the unknown. We are afraid of the unknown. In fact, it is more than the fear of the unknown. It is the fear of losing the known. Even death is like that. The fear of losing the known. Some element of the fear of unknown is there, but fear of losing the known. So, suppose I am the father of a son, and now I am the self. Is the self, can the self be a father? No. Can the self be the self and also a father simultaneously? No. It can only be the self. Fatherhood is a misnomer. I mean, not misnomer, it is a superimposition. Oh, is it like that? Okay. I will wait for it. Because I need to be a father for some more time, and so I like it also for a while, and I will wait for it. Like that. So just I gave some silly example, just to impress upon you that there is no real desire for moksha. That's why in the Shastra, mumuksha is a qualification. Mumuksha means what? A wish for moksha, that should be a qualification. Yeah, that should be a qualification. An important qualification. Because there must be an intense longing. A big longing for liberation. It must be there. Generally, we don't mind having a piece of liberation if we are not otherwise disturbed. So that's why the liberation reveals. Really, because we develop a vested interest in ignorance and in the bondage. There is a vested interest in it. Because the bondage, it is very comfortable, very wonderful. The bondage is a problem only when the other side of it comes. Otherwise, what is wrong with it? Very nice lunch is waiting for us. And we had a beautiful breakfast. And so very nicely we are well dressed. And it is beautiful to look at through the window. So what is wrong? Why should we need moksha at all? What is wrong with it? We don't need moksha. There is no urgency for moksha. It can wait. But then a time comes. It has its opposite. That is the problem. The samsara it mars our cheer. And so the time comes when we become sad for some reason. And then we need moksha. True, that is how people come to moksha. That is the portal, really. No doubt about it. But this love for the samsara is still there. Only certain aspects of the samsara we don't want. The remaining samsara is all okay. What is wrong with it? Yeah, you don't get rid of it that way. The whole of it will continue. Therefore, anyway, so there is only one way to get rid of samsara and realize the self. And that way is padam. What is that padam? Om. That is the padam. How Omkara is the mechanism to reach the goal, and how Omkara itself is the goal, and what is its glory, and how we have to imbibe it, and how we have to practice it in our life. All this will come in the next series of talks after 2 weeks. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhishon Maha. Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.